Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the blog, which is lorddaul.podbean.com. I try to upload something to that once a week, at most every other week. I went a little bit later, probably about a week and a half this time, but I try to be regular, try to get you guys that kickboxing news. You're also listening to the show. The most efficient way is through the iTunes search engine. Just enter Warman Kickfighting Show and the podcast pops right up. So, shorter episode for you guys today. I'm just going to do a breakdown of the Bellator kickboxing card. Their second really, really good offering as far as entertainment is concerned. And the skill level is definitely going up as for the entire cast, for example. And also, want to talk about, of course, the big K1 that's going down this weekend. So, first of all, I'll go ahead and jump right into it. Excuse me. Bellator, the Budapest card that they just did in Hungary, the Budapest Hungary card, that is one of the two things. It shows good that you can put two cards back to back because it shows you got more depth than originally thought. But I think the biggest thing is I thought that the opposition was a lot better. What I mean by that is they went out and they found much, much better matchups. You know, for those of you guys who are familiar with Strikeforce back in the day, they had a lot of, you know, fights that were good, you know, good solid matchups, and a lot of fights that were good solid one-sided guys versus the other guys, the house guy versus the other guy. And, of course, that's the fear that you have. If there's one thing that I give, you know, shout out to Glory for and K1 for at this period of time is they are deep enough so that the best fight the best in the divisions that they focus on. So, you know, you are going to see Rico Verheeven fight everybody. It won't be Rico Verheeven versus, you know, some guy that they found in, Egypt, and they brought him in to compete against the heavyweight title, and you don't really know his resume or that kind of deal, whatever. They have him go against the best guys in the world. If one of the best guys in the world is from Egypt, that guy will get the opportunity. Right now, as it stands, these past couple weeks will probably be the first time where people can clearly say they saw the best fighting high opposition. So their best fighters fighting solid opposition. Sometimes the fights turned out different than they probably had guessed. Sometimes the B side, if you will, overachieved. But I really thought top to bottom that there was really, really good effort from everybody despite being overmatched in some situations. So I'm going to go ahead from the top bot of the show up. I'll go ahead and start with Gabor Gorbix as he gets a victory over Gabriel Varga. Very close fight. I think it comes down to what you like. I actually liked Gabriel Varga, and I thought that he earned the decision. I thought that he landed did a much better job with his complete package of kickboxing. He did a good combo to low kick game. He kind of had movement in moments, but the biggest thing was I thought that he had the extra, and I thought the extra came down to he was able to land a kick on the end of exchange or add on to a combo by adding another one right afterwards. So he had a lot more moments where I was like, okay, he's winning these exchanges. The reason why I thought the fight was rightfully close is Gabor Gorbix kept getting all, you know, as they call it, the sexy shots. He kept getting in the pocket and he would let his hands go and he would land shots that kind of had Varga's head snap or you would see that the damage was significant when it got through. And Gorbix just did a good job playing power in those moments. When they went to the card, they preferred, two of the judges preferred the, you know, the big time overhand wide hook type shots that Gorbix scored. But I actually thought that Varga had the cleaner work. Now, of course, this is Bellator kickboxing, and of course, you know how Coker gets down. Wouldn't be surprised if this was a rematch. But I do think that Gorbix did a good job, and Varga did a good job in defeat. It is a very, very entertaining fight, and I've got no problem with Gorbix getting the decision, but I thought Gabriel Varga was the better kickboxer. Moving on to the card, Rina Bars. It's so weird listening to them. They kept saying Boss for her name, so maybe I've been pronouncing it wrong all this time. I've heard it pronounced Bears and Bars, and I've heard it. I'm going to have to get her on this podcast so I can get the actual pronunciation of how her last name is. But they literally kept saying Boss the whole time. No sound for the R. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong there. But anyways, Urena goes out there and puts on a clinic with Irene Martins. It kind of got started from jump. Like she, Irene Martins was down to throw an exchange. I just think that, Urena was better. Just combinations and low kicks were really, really strong. The teep she came out with, she opened up round two and just blasted Irene Martins across the ring. Like she was all business, and she scored a couple of downs in the fight. Martins did a good job of making it the distance because, you know, Urena was just all on point. She will be that much more dangerous now that she doesn't have to worry about clinch and, you know, being taken down with body locks and positions where the opposition can play suffocate her offense, clinch-style game. Now that Urena Barnes is back to doing just kickboxing, which is her strength, I expect her to land a lot of consistent offense against a lot of high-level opposition. She doesn't matter who they bring in the world at her weight class. I really, really like her chances of getting her hand raised. She's very, very good. This was a good outing, very, very entertaining bout, and I like that Martins was game. But, man, Urena put it together, and it's just an offensive explosion. Everything seemed to score, and she gets her hands raised in her first outing with Bellator. Raymond Daniels gets spinning back kiss, or back kiss of death, spinning back his victory over Gyorgy, I believe it's pronounced Saba. And man, I think Saba was game. I think that he was mentally tough. He was a local product. I think that he, for the most part, was able to do a lot with the defensive part. You know what I mean by that is he wasn't, you know, taking those shots clean. He was pushing the pace. He was keeping himself from taking the flash knockout early. He did a good job of kind of, you know, movement and earmuffs and closing the distance. The problem that he had was he didn't have the offensive part. And I think that that's the thing that you need to have if you're ever going to beat a Raymond Daniels. The reason why Nicky Holtzkin was able to do it, and the reason why Joe Valtellini was able to do it, is because not only did they close the distance and have the earmuffs up, but they let strong offense go the moment they were in the pocket. Like, the moment they got close enough, they started ripping into the body combinations, big-time low kicks. And in the case of Valtellini, the low kicks set up the high kicks finish later. In the case of Nicky Holtzkin, the body shot stoppage was one of the downs, or one of the victories. In the second victory, he just started going to work, and he would split the guard with the knee. But he played defense, because Daniels is going to get the offense off on you. Despite the fact that Daniels is in his late 30s, he is a crazy athlete. He's very, very fast, and he can find clean just boxing and kickboxing. You know, if he were to play a normal game, he'd still be able to land a clean on you. But right now, he mixes that game in with his spin stuff, and he gets his distance, and he plays the body kicks and the boxing extremely, extremely well. So I've always really been impressed by him, and I really think that there's a really good chance that Raymond Daniels will stay undefeated for quite some time until they match him with a guy like Kareem Gaji. But with his athleticism, I think he gives Gaji trouble too. Next fight on the card I want to talk about is Joe Schilling as he goes against Alexandre Negreira. Interesting, because this came down to a 29-28 decision in favor of Joe Schilling. I didn't see it that way. I thought it was clear, 30-27, Joe Schilling. I thought it was a clean kickboxing performance where he threw good combinations and kicks. I thought his movement defensively was good. I thought that Negreira had very few moments where he was able to catch him with anything. Maybe they did it because of comparison rounds. Maybe Joe was more dominant in two of the rounds, and the round that he wasn't as dominant in, they gave, you know, Negreira kind of, I won't say his due, I won't say that they gave him love despite what he was trying to accomplish. I believe that Negreira had moments where he did better in one round than the other two rounds, but in that round, it was still clear Joe Schilling round. Like, not close, still clear Joe Schilling. And I'm wondering if maybe the judges were like, man, he did better because he didn't take as much, and that made them go for him. They call them comparison rounds, and I didn't see it that way at all. Still thought Negreira was game. I still thought that he came forward. He threw big shots when he had his opportunities, not shots I think that would drop or hurt Joe, but let him know that he's there. Let him know that he's fighting. I thought those opportunities came, but just too few and far in between, and I thought Joe Schilling was just one of my favorite performances from him. It was really clean, patient kickboxing, and he scored everything he wanted. Kareem Gaji gets a split decision victory of the weirdest kind of scorecards you're going to see. One of them was 54-45. The other one was, I want to say it was 46-49, and then we had a 48-47. And I actually like Gaji's work. I felt like the difference in the fight, Zoltan Zazak did a good job, like he did in the first fight, of landing clean boxing. But I thought the difference in this one was Gaji was able to blend in some really good knees and some really good low kicks in rounds 4 and 5 in particular. And I feel like down the stretch of the fight, he showed more diversity with his overall offensive attack. And I think that's huge. I think that goes a long way. So Lazak is still a talented guy, and I want to see him fight anybody. I would love to see Lazak fight Raymond Daniels next, you know, and give Kareem Gaji another guy. Welterweight is deep enough. Our fighters who compete around that weight class is deep enough for them to find opposition for him. Especially, you know, there are some guys out there that are unsigned that, you know, Alim Nabayev would be a really fun guy to bring in. Alim Nabayev, I think, beats Gaji, but still, I want to see them bring in that type of opposition. But as it stands, Kareem Gaji is the truth. I've been a big fan of his for a while. He's got a really entertaining style. He's got a good combination of low kick flow, good combination of knee flow, finds his left hand consistently. He just all action, entertaining kickboxer, one of the best in the world in kickboxing, and really solid in Muay Thai as well. I want to see more Kareem Gaji, and I'm glad that he main evented this card. So now I'm going to go ahead and hop right into this this K1 card. As usual, you know, I really think that K1, you know, I bring this up every time, but for a brand that was once non-existent, you know, a few years ago when, you know, about 5 years ago when everybody kind of thought the sky was falling because they didn't have the heavyweight division, they didn't have that lure, you know, that great special place where you go and you have the big events and people treat you differently and, you know, just the fanfare that they had for combat sports. When the heavyweights went away from the K1, people thought that part of our lives were over, really. You know, well, people thought that was the end of kickboxing as we knew it because the biggest company was no longer around. Fast forward to today, and between Glory taking care of the higher weight classes and K1 taking care of the lower weight classes, we really have put together some fun, exciting cards. And the best fighters in the world are getting opportunities that they didn't have before. So, I mean, I'm just excited to see this card and excited to see what's going to come of it. I'm glad that guys who weigh 55 kgs have got the opportunity to compete at something really high level, because that's something that I didn't see coming ever. And here we are with another really, really entertaining kickboxing offering from Japan, and another really big event focused on smaller weight classes that's got their stars in it, and it's just fun from top to bottom. So I'll go ahead and jump into it. I'll leave the preliminary card alone. I'll just go ahead and jump into the tournament and the super fights. We will go ahead and start with Kubo Kenji. He takes on Sang Tak-Chuen. Kenji, of course, is a regular. They've used him before on K1. He also fights for a lot of the local promotions. Chuen's not bad, but I do lean Kenji here. I don't think the winner's coming from this tournament, but I do think that that's going to be a good, entertaining, exciting bout. I like Kenji to win that one. I'm going to move on to the next one in a fight that I would have liked to have seen in the next round, but Torado Numuchika is going to take on Jamie Whalen. Jamie Whalen is my favorite to win this tournament. Jamie Whalen is out of England. He trains with Kieran Kittle, and I've always liked his skill set. I think he brings a lot to the table. I think his boxing's strong enough to really give Torado some trouble. Now, Torado is an all-action fighter who's going to bring it, you know, and he's got some epic wars in his past. One of them that comes to mind. This gets another English fighter, and then the name just eludes me right here in the moment of me going for it, or me doing the podcast. But I really think that Torado could win this, because it's kind of a, you know, he's got the action, he's got the offense, but I lean towards Jamie Whalen. I feel he's the cleaner you know, though he comes from Muay Thai rules, I feel like he's a cleaner kickboxer. I feel like he can land in space well. And when Toronto lands on him, he'll be able to land bigger. So I really like him there. The Lord of War, that's who I'm thinking of. Lord of War, who trains out of, well, I guess he doesn't train there anymore, but he used to be with... in Leeds with, you know, Bad Company. I really thought that that was a really big fight with Toronto. Go ahead and move down the card. We got Takei Yoshiki as he takes on Antonio Orton. I think Takei has got the upper hand there. I've seen some in Orton, not a lot, so I don't want to disrespect him. But I definitely like Takei to be the one to move on in this one. I'm a little bit more familiar with him. Ishida Keisuke as he takes on Charles Bongiovanni, the Frenchman who really put on a excellent fight with Takeru. Because of that fight, I might be overrating him a little bit, but I think that he's got what it takes to beat Ishida. Ishida's definitely very talented and has the skills to beat Charles because Charles is so hittable. But man, Charles Bongiovanni has got such diverse offense, and he's, you know, so long, and he can do some really good things. So I like him in that bout. And then I will go ahead and go with Suzuki Yuya over Zawa Numido in the reserve bout. So we go ahead and move on to how the rest of the tournament plays out. I've got Jamie Whalen beating Kenji Kubukinji. Again, I think he's the best fighter that they have in this tournament field, you know, now that Takeru isn't in it. So I really lean towards him. I like his skill set. Moving on from there, I've got Charles Bongiovanni beating Takei Yoshiki. And of course, a lot of people are going to be down on that. Clearly, with having a Japanese fighter in each of the first four round, you know, quarterfinal matches, you would like to see one of them possibly make it to the finals. And again, Takei Yoshiki's got a really good shot at Bongiovanni. I think it's a toss-up in my mind, but I definitely lean towards Charles Bongiovanni to go to the final to meet Jamie Whalen, and I think Jamie Whalen will stop him there. So I feel like Jamie Whalen's going to be the best guy coming out of this field. I see him fighting Takeru before the year's out. He's a very entertaining fighter. I'm excited to see what comes from him moving down the line. Super fights, going to go ahead and jump into them. Hiroya Yusuf versus Yamato Tetsuya is all action. That is an awesome, awesome fight, and don't rule Hiroya out in this one. I'm actually going to pick Hiroya to get the upset. Yamato Tetsuya is not just a good kickboxer, but he's a good Muay Thai fighter. He's got some big-time wins. Of course, he's got the Kevin Ross wins. People know that. And, of course, he fought in a Thai fight back when Thai fight was a little bit more serviceable in terms of the fights that they put on, like before it, you know, became squash matches. He fought for them back in the day. I think that Hiroya's steady kickboxing, the low kicks, and his ability to counter, he's got such power in his counters. He really showed me a lot with the Masaki Nori fight last year. So that's why I lean towards Hiroya to really come out and put on a kind of performance that kind of makes people say, this kid's legit. The betting favorite's still Yamato Tetsuya. Fought everybody, really. I mean, this guy's fought Sanchai. This guy's fought so many people in the world. So it's not like Hiroya's going to do something he ain't seen before. But I just like the consistent offense that Hiroya brings when he gets it going. So I lean towards Hiroya to get that. But wouldn't be surprised at all if Yamato found the moment, found the right offensive opportunity to put Hiroya on his butt. Not just a knockdown, but he could put him on his back and get him out of there too. He's got that kind of ability and he's got that kind of timing. But I'm going to go with the guy who I think has the ability to win more rounds, and I'm going to go with Hiroya. Next fight on this card I'm going to talk about is Koichi as he takes on KG. Again, this is of the super fights, this is kind of on the lesser end of it, but Koichi has shown me some pretty good skills. So I guess I'm interested in seeing how this outing goes for him. KG, also solid, but you know, I think this is more of a wait and see before I kind of crown anybody or really talk about their, you know, value towards the card down the road. Then, of course, we jump into the two huge super fights. I'll go ahead and start off with the biggest star in Japan kickboxing right now, Takeru, as he takes on Victor Saravia. This is awesome matchmaking. Victor Saravia is so strong. He's gotten so many opportunities in such a short period of time. So we're talking about a guy who really got his pro fights going on Line Fight. those opportunities got him over to a fight over in England, where he got to fight Full Rules Muay Thai. He lost on cut stoppage there, but to see him here in Japan, that means whoever your manager is, Victor Saravia, whoever your gym is, they're doing the right thing with you, buddy. They're getting you out there. They're giving you high-level opportunities. He's going against the man, Takuru. Do not be surprised if Victor Saravia wins this fight. Don't be surprised at all. He's very, very powerful. Big-time low kicks. But despite his power and despite how big he scores, I've also seen guys who I thought he was going to stop for sure go a little bit longer than you know, be able to hold up to him. And sometimes people throw hard, but the effect doesn't really mask what I'm seeing as far as what it looks like when they're about to land. So wouldn't be surprised if Saravia pulls off this upset. But Takuru is such a good kickboxer, and it's kind of blinded by the fact that he's also got that KO pop, and he can put you on your butt, and he can get you out of there. He really can play a good combination of the kick game very, very well. Very savvy with it. He'll chop the legs up. Victor Saravia, he gets his going, but sometimes they're big singles. Sometimes he doesn't hide them in the combo flow. He can, but he doesn't always do it because he's such a good athlete. He's such a powerful guy. Takuru will be able to hide his low kicks behind effective, clean kickboxing offense. So I definitely lean for the biggest star that, you know, in Japan right now to get another victory here. It's just going to be a really exciting outing. I'm really excited for this fight more than any fight in this entire card. Also, we've got Wirasekrek. That's the new gym that he's under. But Ku, of course, we know him as Ku Fairtex. He is the champion, the super lightweight champion. He takes on Kamazaki Hideki. Of course, Hideki was the one who won the Japan Grand Prix last year in this weight class, beating Masaki Nori in the final. He ain't beating Ku. I'll just put it simple. Ku Fairtex is the truth. This guy is so, so talented, and he is not joking. He does not go out there playing a hit me, don't hit me kind of game. He doesn't play, tit for tat. He doesn't kind of play touch and go. He's out there seriously throwing that heat. Ku Fairtex wants to win rounds and wants to put you on your back. He ain't joking. I think Ku Fairtex is going to stop Hideki. He just has the right kind of style, right kind of aggression. And his vision, his ability to punch in between and punch with you, counter skills, let alone his ability to get off the power left leg and the power left hand if you're standing still. That put together with a knee game that's underrated. He finds it usually after he batters the body for a little bit. Ku Fairtex is the legit best fighter in the world in the weight class, and this isn't up for contestation right now. This is the man. So I've got Ku Fairtex winning, and what won't be the final? Of course, clearly the tournament final is going to wrap this all up, but Ku Fairtex is the guy who I think will take this. As far as the 55kg tournament goes, you know, I mentioned Jamie Whalen winning it all. I think it will be good for him, and I think that he will end up fighting Takuru. I'd like Victor Saravia as another option for him, but of course they probably won't go Western, you know, for that matchup. But I do think that there's a good chance that Toronto, if he beats Whalen, he still comes out of the tournament. So good stuff all around. There's a couple of prelim fights. As I see it, I believe this gets going at 12:30 Central Time for me. So I don't know what it is for the rest of you guys, but I'm in the Central. If you're in the East, it's 1:30. So we're looking at doing this thing all night. So for those who are going to be up, I'll be on the Twitter machine as long as my stream works, and I'll be doing my best to get you guys that big-time kickboxing action. Only other news that I bring up before I close out the show, again, this is going to be a simple show. Nicky Holtzkin and Cedric Doumbé have got the rematch scheduled in France, and that's going to be June 10th, which means that they're going pretty much 3 weeks between glory cards, between Holland and then doing France, and that's a win. If there's one thing that Glory doesn't get enough credit for, it's the consistency of their shows. Now, clearly, I'd love it if they formatted it differently, but I am loving how consistent they do those shows. Very, very good stuff. Very, very glad that this fight's happened. Anissa Mexen, the best female fighter in the world, is going to be in that card. It's been good all around, so I want to thank everybody for joining me. As I mentioned before, this is a short one. Get you guys to the rest of your days, but I didn't want to give you guys a kickboxing weekend without your kickboxing fix. Hope you guys have a good one. I'll be back next week where I break down the winners of this card, where I talk about the glory card coming up that following weekend, and I'm just excited to see the offerings that we have from people down the road, from kickboxing right now. Bellator putting on some of their best shows. K1 having a show coming up. Glory having a show next week. kickboxing's doing its thing, you know. So I'll be back next week. I'll also get to the stadiums. I've neglected the stadiums lately, so I'll break down some stadium fights next week too. So thanks, everybody, for listening. God bless and have a good one.